Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Extra Inch. I'm here with Nathan and Bardi. This is a very impromptu podcast. We have no running order. We've done no planning. We've barely said two words to each other since joining the Skype call. Obviously, we're recording this because this evening, Maurizio Pochettino has been sacked by our club. And we thought it was important to get immediate reactions. And I think first thing to say is, obviously, we'll need to do another podcast about his tenure because there's so much to say. But let's just get some immediate reactions to this news. Nathan, let's start with you. You're very upset.
I am very upset. I've said before on this podcast that I'm not someone who generally lets football affect them, especially negatively. I deal with bad results fairly well, but I'm genuinely very upset about this. Shocks and angry and I don't know, it it feels just a tiny little bit like a breakup.
Yeah, that was the first feeling that came to my mind as well. Bardi, how about you?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I saw I looked down at my phone and my phone kind of erupted and I kind of knew something had happened. And now it has happened. I think I'm still trying to process it. I don't know where I am. I'm trying to be brave about it, saying the club goes on. And I've always seen the club being bigger than one man. And I've seen Bale leave. I've seen Gazza leave. I'm old enough to remember that horrible morning when I watched BBC News and Waddle left. And I've kind of been through a lot in my lifetime watching Spurs. And this has hurt me a bit. But being logical and being the Italian in me, which is kind of used to football managers changing all the time, it was expected. It was expected.
It's kind of like when Martignol left, multiplied by 10, because then we had a very likeable manager who we genuinely felt affection for, who many of us didn't want to see go. But at the same time, part of you thought maybe it's the right time. And that's kind of where I am at the moment. Like, I've been speaking about Pochettino quite a bit this week for various things I've been doing. And when I've been asked to speak about him objectively, I've basically said, we can't get rid of him. And I said that to on camera for the BBC for a thing I was recording last week. And I shocked myself a bit because on this podcast, I've been sort of trying to be quite objective and say, you know, maybe it is the right time for him to leave. When it came to it, they said, do you think it's time for him to move on? I was like, no, we need to build with him at the helm and he needs to be given a chance to fix this. And that came from my heart. I think if I take a step back and think with my head, it's a really difficult decision that Daniel Levy's made. I feel like he didn't have a lot of other choices, to be honest. We've been really bad for a long time. And as much as I've absolutely adored Maurizio Pochettino's Tottenham, and I truly have, it's been the greatest period of supporting Spurs in my life by a long, long way. Like, I've properly fallen back in love with the club. It's been a joy. The last year, other than the Champions League, obviously, has been quite shit to watch. Quite shit. And and this season in particular has felt toxic. He's upset me in press conferences where I've lost my faith in him as a sort of spokesperson for the club. And I get it. I get why Levy's had to do this. And, you know, the statement that Spurs have made tonight after, you know, many, many clicks trying to get to the website to read the goddamn statement, it felt like there was some genuine warmth there from Daniel Levy, who's not a man that shows his affection. You know, you could tell from Pochettino's book that they had a great relationship. They got on famously. They did things together. They did team-building things together, and they were friendly off the pitch. This would have been a really difficult decision for Levy, and he's got balls of steel making it.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. The thing is, I agree with both of you. But ultimately, he wasn't winning enough matches. And I completely agree that Levy is majorly to blame here for the failures in the squad. But I didn't see Spurs turning this around this season, and I don't know where it was going to go. And there was problems. You're right. He's been saying weird things. He's not picked a formation or a style of play for a year. We've kind of been in the middle of nothing, so it's not a surprise. It's bad, but we've all broken up with somebody that we probably could have kept going with, and perhaps it would have got better. But then we didn't. We split up with them, and things got better.
That what you're saying doesn't make that much sense to me. If you recognise that the issue is with Levy's lack of investment and the issues that exist within the squads, then why does it make sense to make another drastic change of the best manager we've had in our lifetime? that seems odd to me. If you know, if you're looking at it from like a problem solving angle, if the issue is with the squads, then why do you have to get rid of the manager?
I think that's too simplistic, though. I think it's more complicated than that. I think we all want to point at something and say it's that that's the problem. It's that that's the problem. It's that that's the problem. But actually, there are so many problems at Spurs at the moment, and I do think Pochettino, there's more he could have done to solve quite a few of them. You know, we've spoken for months about how the squad building has been stacking up and stacking up and stacking up, and we've let it get out of our control. And to me, this is Daniel Levy ultimately saying you're the one who's let this happen, and therefore we have to make a change. I think if Levy felt totally responsible for this, that he had been the one that had said, right, you can't spend any money, or he'd been saying to Pochettino, no, you can't have that guy, we can't afford him, then I think he would have afforded him more time. Maybe I'm naive.
Levy was never going to sack himself, so he was going to blame somebody for this, and the manager always gets
and
the
he can't sack
it.
The players either.
No. Perhaps he's now looking at, I don't know, we don't know where we're going to go next, but I think in his idea, he's hoping for the new manager bounce, something, I don't know, like an Ole at the wheel kind of push, something to see us through this season. And it's not good. I'm not saying this. It was the right decision there to sack.
It's too early to say that, isn't it? We don't know. We won't know until like a year from now whether this was the right decision or not. Possibly longer.
It wasn't. I promise.
we don't know. We really don't know.
I mean, better managers have been fired from jobs before, and the club will continue. The club will continue. We will move forward, and whatever happens, it happens. I will always support Tottenham over Pochettino more. I love Pochettino, thank you very much. But you're an employee. Goodbye. And now the next person comes in, and whether he's shit or whether he's bad, I will still support them, and I will complain if they do rubbish, and I will love them if they do good. That's just football. Pochettino was never going to remain the manager for the next 10 years.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that, and I think we did kind of, in a way, fool ourselves into thinking that it was going to last longer. It's just not the done thing in modern football for a manager to stay around even this long. Like he's outstayed the vast majority of managers at other clubs. It's not common for managers to stick around as long as he has. And it's difficult for us to get used to that, having grown up in a period where managers often did have long spells at clubs. But it's not the norm now.
For him to have stayed, he would have needed investment, and he never got that investment. And he can no longer, this horse he's been given, he's no longer able to flog it and get the best out of it. So they're thinking perhaps someone, stick a new jockey on this old nag and see what happens.
What do you think of the timing? Because we had an international break, and managers often go at the beginning of an international break because they then get some time on the training field to get their heads around how the club operate and what players are at their disposal and just have a look at things. This has come at the end of the international break, a couple of days before a local derby. The timing feels very odd to me. Nathan, what could possibly be the reasons for this timing?
It's possible that the decision was made days ago, and maybe there's already a replacement lined up that's, you know, going to come out before this podcast does, and all that kind of stuff. But it feels really drastic and sudden. I don't know. I wonder if it's fresh news and the timing is so weird and so poor, really, that it makes me think that there was like a disagreement, an in person, and you know, a failure of reassurances in a meeting between the two of them is what would make sense to me. Because otherwise, why 4 days from going away to West Ham? That doesn't make any sense, does it?
So we had some news stories this week that, or last night, Monday night specifically, that they'd had some meetings and that the future was looking dark for Pochettino. Do you think perhaps that they took the opportunity of the international break coming to sit down and have a few heart-to-hearts? Perhaps they had a chat at the start of the international break and Levy said, look, I'm not going to ask you to make a decision now, but I want you to go away and think about your future. And he's given him an out, and he's said, you know, this is your opportunity. If you've lost any faith yourself, then it's time to make the decision to move on.
Well, yeah, but the statement doesn't say that Pochettino has left. It says that he's been sacked. It says he's been released.
Juices.
Yeah, which is, you know, I've been relieved of my duties. That wasn't me going.
But could that be like a saving face thing in a way?
Well, I don't think the club would be interested in portraying themselves as the instigators of this move. That doesn't make sense to me. I think he was sacked because of a specific thing that happened, I guess, is what makes the most sense now.
Yeah, no, now you're saying that, it does make sense. Because the timing doesn't make sense in terms of, like I said, the international break, but also the fact that we had two draws and a good win.
Yeah.
Not good performances, admittedly, but...
Sure, but a slight uptrend recently.
Yeah. I mean, if it had been after the thrashing against Brighton, then you'd have been like...
That made sense then.
Timing-wise, that would have made sense. We'd just been hammered by Bayern Munich and now we've lost to Brighton.
So do you think that possibly they would have talked about January?
Oh, God.
I know that's incredibly speculative, but that is my instinct.
Oh, God. So you're saying potentially that he didn't get the assurances that they'd be able to make signings in January?
Yeah. That is very, very speculative. It's a wild guess out there, but that's just the gut feeling that I have. That's kind of what makes sense to me. Because, yeah, there was that slight uptrend. There is obviously this enormous history and the time that had already been given to him and the timing with this international break. It feels sudden and weird and wrongly placed, which means it's not, you know, purely based on the sort of chronology of football that we've played. It means it's a behind the scenes event, and the one that makes the most sense is a discussion about spending in January.
Do you know what, even just talking about this in a kind of matter of fact analytical way is making me feel a bit better already, because I felt really numb when I saw the news. In fact, Nathan, you broke the news to me. You were the first one that broke the news to me. And then
Sorry.
Obviously I saw Twitter just going crazy.
So I saw a quoted tweet of the sort of Spurs official account, and I thought, well, that's not real. And like, you look at the at and you double check the tweet, and you go onto the account, and then you check the link, and you make sure that there isn't like an L in place of an I in the link, and then it's like, okay, wow, this has actually happened. Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, whether we think it's right or wrong, it's really sad. It's
really sad.
It's properly the end of an era.
It's really emotional, and also I firmly believe that the club is going to be in a terrible state for a long time.
Don't say that, Nath. We don't need that on top of this.
Well, no, that's the most upsetting part, is that I can't see us replacing him well. If we continue to invest in the way that we have, we're going to head in a really terrible direction.
No, I'm going to take a positive approach. I'm going to say that this is an opportunity for us to fix some of the structural problems. We can take the opportunity to appoint a director of football as well as a head coach. We can take the opportunity to bring in a new recruitment department who use analytics and do things in a modern way. And we can take the opportunity to integrate our academy with our first team problem. There are things that can happen.
I mean, it's possible.
Move us in the right direction.
I'm going to stand with you, Windy. I think I don't want to look down into the abyss and think it's going to get worse. I think things will get better. Things, and if they don't, we'll live with it. But I think
this is a really simplistic thing to say, but I do think it's important, and I think it does kind of show the change. We stopped pressing. The thing that made Pochettino's Tottenham was the pressing. The pressing was what he built his legacy on, and we don't do it anymore. And it feels from his press conferences like the reason we don't do it anymore is because the players choose not to do it in games, and that in itself, in my opinion, is a sign that he is unable to organise or motivate his players to do the pressing nowadays. And that as I said, it's very simplistic, but without the press, we are nothing under Pochettino.
I stand with you, Windy. I think he's been lost in a place for a year now where we haven't seen any kind of sense of football, any kind of Pochettino-ness about the team, other than occasionally some chaos that gets us through some big matches. We haven't seen a Pochettino side, and maybe there's faults there in the recruitment and everything else going on behind the scenes. But the way the players that we have now don't play like his team, it's just a bad thing.
We're pining for what we had a year, 18 months ago, aren't we? Not what we've just lost, because what we've just lost is a shadow of what it was.
And it's horrible that Pochettino's walking away from a really good job. He's done a really good job at Spurs. He changed how Spurs are seen around the world, how we're seen in this country. He finished above Arsenal multiple times, and he created this great team and this great kind of sense of ownership about club. And it's a shame he's walking away without anything, without a piece of metal or something he can hang his hat on. You know, something that I did this, and had he got sacked, then if he had a FA Cup or a League Cup, I'd have gone, oh, okay, that was a great day, la la la, everything else. And that's the sad thing for me, is that he's got nothing. He's walking away with Spurs, and what's he got? A couple of fourth places and a Champions League runner-up medal. That's the crime here, that he doesn't have more for such a good job.
He's too good to have nothing. Listen, I think we need to do a deep dive on Pochettino's Tottenham, and we'll do that. We'll do that in a podcast very soon. And obviously, we don't know what's going to happen at this point in terms of replacements, so there's no point us speculating right now. There's something, like Nathan said, something could be arranged already, and we'll look very stupid if we go and start talking about potential replacements. But there's going to be plenty more content from us on this, because we've barely touched the surface. But boys, thank you for chatting at short notice, and
thank you, Pochettino.
Yeah,
ciao. Thank you, Poch.
Thank you, Maurizio. We'll miss you.
You've been listening to The Extra Inch. Thanks to Nathan A. Clark for production. Thanks to Bardi for being Italian. Thanks to Adam Gardner for the artwork. Thanks to David Lindner for our intro music. You can find him on Twitter at Davey Shambles and his SoundCloud, D. Lindner. Do check him out. He's great. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at The Extra Inch. Email us via podcast@theextrainch.co.uk and subscribe via your usual podcast platforms. And if you do enjoy the podcast, consider leaving us a rating and review. That would really help.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.